Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. For the next 2 weeks, Pardes is bringing Purim to you. Let's dive in.
Hi, this is Nechama Goldman Barish coming to you from Jerusalem. In the second half of chapter 3, we read of other obligatory readings from the Torah that take place on special days like Purim. It starts with the four portions of Parshiot that are read between Adar and Nisan and continues on to delineate other special Torah portions. Mishnah 4 in chapter 3. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shachaliot B'Shabbat, Korin B'Parshat Shkalim, Chaliot B'Tocha Shabbat, Makdimim L'Sha'avar U'Mafsikin L'Shabbat Acheret, Bashniya Zachor, Bashlishit Para Aduma, Barivit HaKodesh HaZelachem, Bachamishit Chozrin L'Chisidran, Lakom Mafsikin B'Rashay Chodeshim B'Chanukah V'Purim B'Taniyot U'V'Mamadot U'V'Yom HaKippurim. So now let's take a look at the translation, and along with the translation, some interpretation and explanation. On four Shabbatot during and surrounding the month of Adar, a Torah portion of seasonal significance is read. So when the new moon of Adar, when Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs on Shabbat, the congregation reads the portion of Shkalim on that Shabbat. Shkalim is a currency that was used in the time of the Mishnah, and there was a mitzvah of giving a half shekel in order to pay for communal sacrifices and what was called bedek habayit, the refurbishing of the temple. And the reason this parsha is read close to Rosh Chodesh Adar is that the collections of funds paid for sacrifices, for communal sacrifices and refurbishing the temple space began in the month of Nisan. So they would announce the obligation a full month in advance, and everyone would have the opportunity to prepare his half shekel and to donate it before Rosh Chodesh Nisan arrived. And the portion of Shkalim is taken from Exodus 30, verses 11 to 17, where it talks about the collecting, the truma, the donation of a half shekel among the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, that was used to essentially build and upkeep the tabernacle. Okay, the next Shabbat is the Shabbat of Zachor. That's the second Shabbat in the sequence. And that's the one, it's a parsha not connected to the temple. And it takes place on the Shabbat before Purim. In it, we read an excerpt from Deuteronomy in which the biblical commandment to eradicate the memory of Amalek is recorded. It is read before Purim because villainous Haman from Megillat Esther was a descendant of Amalek. Parshat Parah is the third Shabbat, and it's read the Shabbat after Purim, and it describes the purification process using the ashes of the red heifer. Para is heifer, para aduma is the red heifer, and a red heifer that was completely red with not even one white hair was slaughtered, and then its body was burned into ashes, and it was used as part of the purification process if one was defiled with corpse impurity, a process which would last 1 week. And this was also an anticipation, like Shkalim, were collecting funds to upkeep the temple because all of the pilgrims are coming up for the pilgrimage to the temple in order to bring their Passover offering. Here too, para, or the process using the ashes of the red heifer, is being read in anticipation of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because those who lived far away would begin their journey to Jerusalem to arrive in time for Passover, and they needed time, at least a week, to finish the purification process before eating the Passover offering, because the offering could not be eaten in a state of ritual impurity. So that's Parshat Paraz. That's the reason we read that portion, which is from Numbers 19, verses 1 to 22, to remember the process that was needed to purify those that were impure in anticipation of the Korban Pesach, the Passover offering. And finally, the fourth portion, Parshat HaChodesh, which is the portion of the moon, or the new moon. It describes the commandment to already separate out the lamb that will be offered as a Passover offering already from the beginning of the month. And that is being read from Exodus 12, verses 1 to 20. And along with that are all of the attendant details around the bringing of the Passover offering, which is being eagerly anticipated as we move closer and closer to Passover. And these are all read in addition to the regular weekly Torah reading. And what we have here is, a sequence of four parshiot, three of which are actually practically not relevant, one of which remains very relevant, is Zachor, the idea of remembering to eradicate the memory of Amalek. And it speaks to this seamless integration between the past world of the temple, of the tabernacle, and then the temple, the world of sacrifices, the world of purity and impurity. And right there in the middle of that is Zachor, which is something in the present and in the future we're going to continue to do. So I happen to like that, where there's an intertwining of the rituals that we no longer practice without ceremony linked to something that is still directly relevant, the reading of Zachor, and ultimately also the reading of the Megillah, which is going to take place soon after we read the Parsha of Zachor. The last piece of the Mishnah, which I have not yet read, is that on the fifth Shabbat, they resume the weekly order. In other words, there are no more special portions. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, on all special days, the regular weekly readings are interrupted and a special portion relating to the character of the day is read. And this applies to Rosh Chodesh, to Hanukkah, to Purim, to fast days, to the non-priestly watches, what is called the Ma'amadot days. Really, those were days in which people who belonged to a certain rotation, who were the sponsors of a certain rotation in the temple, that week would assemble in a synagogue and pray for the acceptance of the offerings in the Holy Temple. So it speaks to what I was talking about before. We still read the special readings of Rosh Chodesh, of Hanukkah, of Purim, of fast days. We no longer have Ma'amadot, but they're still linked in there in the Mishnah to these other readings and to Yom Kippur, which is still, of course, very much relevant. Last two Mishnayot in the chapter, which are really almost like a laundry list of the text, the citation of text to be read on special Torah readings that are appropriate for Jewish holidays throughout the year, include the citation of readings on Passover, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh that falls on Shabbat. Fast days are mentioned as well, in which the citation to be read is the end of Leviticus, where the blessings and curses known as Tochacha are written. This does not reflect our contemporary practice of reading a section from Exodus 32, which describes God revealing himself to Moses, rather than a text describing calamity. Now, it's not that it was a contemporary practice. It's a practice based on a minor tractate called Masechet Sofrim. Nonetheless, Maimonides resolves this discrepancy between the Mishnah and the practice, as he himself already saw being done, by explaining the Mishnah as talking about non-regulated fast days for misfortune, in which case there is an unusual reading because of the singularity of the occasion, while on regular fast days that are part of the yearly calendar, like the 17th of Tammuz or the 10th of Tevet, the practice of reading Exodus 32 is followed. The Ma'amadot, which came up earlier, are also mentioned in one of the last Mishnayot, because they too have a special Torah reading, that of the description of creation. To add a little bit to what I said earlier, the Jewish people outside of the priesthood were divided into 24 watches called Ma'amadot. Each week it would be the turn of a different watch to send representatives to Jerusalem to be present in the temple to witness the sacrificial service. This would allow the entire community to feel connected to the temple rituals and practices. Those remaining behind would fast during the week from Monday to Thursday, offer special prayers, and read the account of creation from the Torah. While we no longer have these watches, it's a powerful concept to consider. How can we create inclusive communal spaces so that everyone feels represented, even if not everyone can physically be present or perform the same tasks? All of the readings mentioned in this part of the chapter match up to the theme of the holiday, usually with a focus on the sacrifices brought to celebrate the festival. The Chanukah reading, which cannot be about Hanukkah, since Hanukkah is a rabbinic rather than a biblical holiday and is not mentioned in the Torah, the Hanukkah reading comes from the sacrifices brought by the heads of each tribe on the occasion of the establishment of the tabernacle in the desert, intuitively matching with the rededication of the temple during Second Temple times as a result of the Hasmonean victory. As we conclude this chapter, it is noteworthy that before we read about the regular Torah readings on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbat, the Mishnah first brings us the special Torah portions that are interspersed and punctuate the regularity of the weeks and months, with attention paid to the unusual brought in the form of the holidays and commemorations that accompany us throughout the year. Do we start with the regular or the unusual when we think of the week or month or year? Many times it is the birthdays, the anniversaries, the yahrzeits that we acknowledge at the beginning of a week and a month, before looking over the usual sequence of schedulings, meetings, classes, work, family, and obligation. With this, I bid you farewell. Hope to see you in the last three podcasts when we will learn together Chapter 4 and finish the tractate.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.